What's up, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here. And today we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one community for DJs where you can get paid to stream your in-person events. Today we have my brother Royski here to tell his story. Can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
My name is Roy. I go by Royski. Originally from Southern California, but now reside in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Awesome, man. We're super excited to have you on the podcast. We want to hear, you know, what sparked your interest in becoming a DJ?
It was crazy. You know, I'm a little older right now. So I started in 86, or a couple years out of high school, giving my age right now. I grew up in Southern California, and I used to hang out like at amusement parks like Knott's Berry Farm and Disneyland. But Knott's Berry Farm was my cup of tea. I used to be in a dance crew and go out there and dance and all that stuff. And I ended up meeting one of the DJs there, Michael Martin, who was working for Kiss FM, doing late night mix shows and stuff. And we became friends. He was a little older than me, about 5 years older than me, but he let me borrow his mixer. I was into it. And I remember living in California, I had a little turntable, had a Radio Shack mixer, and I went and stole borrowed in my sister's room her 8-track cassette and record player. And I hooked them back up to the inputs, and that's how I started. I didn't have a pitch control, no bend, anything like that. So it's kind of like using my finger trying to get the beats. And I remember my first mix, it was Blue Monday by New Order, mixing into Trans X Living on Video. I thought that was the coolest mix ever, when you hear the doom, 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 doom. So yeah, and then I started getting a little serious. I went out, bought some Technique 1200s, still had the old school radio mixer, and then I started doing church dances. And then when I was 21, had an extensive collection of vinyl. I would drive up to LA and go to record stores and spend, you know, half day on there. They would be playing the music so I could listen to them on 12-inch singles and stuff. So when I was 21, I was in a club called Charlie Brown's in West Covina, and that's kind of how everything took off. So yeah.
Nice. That's a really great intro. That's super exciting, man. And it's something that, you know, you've been doing since a young age, and you kind of jumped into it and had a unique kind of entry to it. It kind of just made it work by putting things together. That's super exciting. You know, what was some of your motivation when you first got started to kind of becoming a DJ? Like, what was something that, like, you just stood out to you in regards to just getting passionate about this thing?
Well, it started at a very young age. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, so, you know, in the 70s she was always listening to music and vinyl and 8-tracks and cassettes and stuff, and I was always into music, like, you know, Billy Joel, John, David Bowie, stuff like that. So it was just part of my life as a child, and then I just got into it, especially when the hip-hop scene came in, because I was, you know, I wasn't a great scratch DJ, but that's what I wanted to do. But mixing is my forte, so beat mixing. But just the passion of music, and you know, when you're from the, you know, people drink, people do drugs, they do all that stuff to get their high. My high was mixing one song into another song, and then not knowing what the next song was going to be, and then dance floor just erupts. That was my high. That was my high, and I kept doing it. I just kept on doing it and progressed at different clubs, and then you know, did singles parties for people that that were introduced to me. And, you know, yeah, it was just the passion of music forever. I dabbled in a little bit of producing and stuff. I wasn't the best, but I just like mixing and doing shows. And I do my podcast too. So, you know, I'm 54 right now. I'll be 55 this summer. So it's hard to get a gig when you have gray hair and your back's curving over because you're old. But you know, I just started streaming live. I call it Live from the Kitchen, and I do it on Twitch. So yeah, it's fun. I just started a couple of months ago. So, but I do my podcast regularly. I do a virtual DJ radio. I'm one of their resident DJs. I did a show yesterday. So I dabble in it, but don't do a lot of live shows. I think the last live show I did was about a year and a half ago in Minneapolis. And that was Nora M. Pure. I opened for her, but yeah, opening up for big house DJs, EDX, trans DJs, Ferry Corson and stuff like that, meeting all these guys, it's in my blood. You know, I when I stopped when I was like 43, I had my kid, I said, I'm not going to do anymore, but it went like that, lasted like a month and a half. And it just, I needed it. I just need music to listen to get me going throughout the day, and then doing the podcast. It's funny, because when I started doing podcasts, it was, you know, you have a certain kind of audience. So I do different genres. I'll do house, I'll do tech house, I'll do trance, funky house, I'll do all that stuff every other week differently. And I don't care if one person listens, it's just that one person's enjoying it and they'll be a fan of yours for forever. So yeah, that's my passion. It's just, I love music.
That's awesome, man. And I think having a podcast is a really great way to build your brand as a DJ. You know, I am building a business around DJ. So I started a podcast because it really makes sense for me to provide value to the DJ community that I'm serving. But for you as a DJ yourself and having a podcast, tell me a little bit about, you know, what pushed you towards doing that and the value that you're seeing from it. And if do you recommend other DJs to start their own podcast as well?
Yeah, for sure. You know, with my podcast, I rotate it. So I have one that's called Club and Compassion. I release them on Sundays. And then the following week, it's Royski's Ride to 80s Wave podcast, and it's all new waves. So that's, I'm into, I think, 71 episodes on that. And I'm getting close to 300 episodes on Club Compassion. It's music that I listen to from labels that send me stuff like Spinning, just any kind of label, you know, sending me stuff. And I go and listen to the music. It's not what people want to hear. It's like what I like. What I'm playing is this music that I pick out that I put on my podcast. And I have followers that like that. So with the podcast, it's just something for me is I can still keep me motivated in the music scene. And I have people reaching out to me like, hey, you know, where did you get this track? I have labels that found out by podcast. I just got another company that out of the blue just sends me promo. They just followed me and then they're sending me all kinds of stuff. And it's pretty cool when you get a lot of promos because you don't really have to go out and buy stuff. But I usually do too. You know, I'll go to Beatport, I'll buy music there. But yeah, that's how the podcast started because I was getting out of the club scene, but people still wanted to hear my music. So that's how it started.
Awesome. So talk to me a little bit more. I just want to get more detail about the podcast. Are you talking about the music that's being played, or are you just kind of like almost like a playlist but curate playlist, or what is it exactly?
Yep. So what I do is I record it first and then I do voiceover work after I'm done with it. So it's a production. It's about 3 to 4 hours to get it released, put it on iTunes, stuff like that. I do talk on the Club Compassion one a little bit more than I do on the 80s one because I always want to give recognition to the labels. So like example, I'll go like, hey, this dude just heard Above and Beyond. That was on Ajuna Beats, naming the track, stuff like that. I don't do it on every song. I do it probably 3 or 4 times through the podcast and with my DJ Royski drops or Royski drops. That's what I usually do. It just depends. Sometimes I used to do a track of the week too, but then some of the promo labels got mad because they're like, why isn't this track of the week? And it's what I like, right? It's what I want to put down. So I stopped doing that. But podcasts run about 1 hour 10 minutes to about 1 hour 20 minutes. And then I put it on my website and I give the label their credit too. So you'll see the name of the artist, name of the track and the label on there too. And the labels appreciate that too. So because I'm not making any money off it. I do have a Patreon and a PayPal. Some people throw a couple bucks in there every so often. But, you know, I'm doing it because I like to do it. And I just love the love of music.
No, that's great though. You know, it's an asset that you're using to help build your brand as well. And then you're having fun while you're doing it. So that's super exciting. Talk to us a little bit about the process about starting a podcast for any DJs that are out there that are interested in starting their own podcast. Our brother Royski here has started one and he's doing successful. He has almost 100 episodes on his podcast. So he's a skilled person at podcasting. Can you please tell us a little bit about how a DJ can go about starting their own?
Well, you know, you got to find a host, of course. So, and you don't want to give up. I know a lot of people will try podcasts. They get into, you know, 15 episodes and they get somebody who listens 2 or 3 times. You know, you got to start from the bottom. You're going to scrape and you really have, you know, I get anywhere now from 1 to 300 listens per episode, sometimes more. I started on Podomatic and then greased it up with iTunes. So they correlated together. So it shoots that to iTunes. And then iTunes reached out to me and said, nope, we're pulling your podcast. You don't have copyrights to do this. So I showed them all the emails from the labels. They reinstated it and then they pulled it again. So I'm in the process of doing that. So if you were to follow me a while back on iTunes, you can still listen to it. It still goes there. It's super weird. You just can't go on iTunes and search it, but that's going to be taking care of in the next couple of weeks. But don't give up. So what I did, I started on Podomatic, and then I do Mixcloud. I didn't have a lot of success on SoundCloud at the time, back in the day. So I went with Mixcloud, and then Google Podcasts right now, and then Stitcher. So those are all the platforms that my podcasts are on. So I get a wide variety of people listening to the podcast at all those different sources. So, but the main thing is, don't give up. You know, I started off with channels in Tampa Bay. It was BPM.FM. And they found me because I was just doing podcasts here and there. And then I was streaming on their platform, which got me a lot of national recognition. So, and then there, I don't think they're together anymore, but I left on my own and went and did my own podcast. But I just don't give up. You know, there's times on there you'll have maybe 10 people download your podcast. I never give up. You just got to keep working hard at it. And if it's something that it's, I mean, there's a lot of time in it too. Like I said, 3 to 4 hours to produce one podcast. So you have to have that time. I usually do those on my days off. It's like a hobby. You know, some people go out and play sports. You know, some people like to play video games. I do that for out of my time is producing podcasts.
Wonderful. And talk to me a little bit about, you know, some of your virtual DJing. You said that you're doing a lot of that now. So talk to me about just how you're enjoying it, and tell me just a little bit about your process and how you think about virtual DJing and how it helps you as a DJ.
You know, it's weird because I should have jumped on this last year when the pandemic started, and I didn't. I came in really late in the game. So I reached out to some friends and said, hey, how do you do it? I use Serato, but I use Virtual DJ Radio too, because I'm a member of that. But I do stream with Virtual DJ. But with OBS was really a struggle for me to go. But they have their own plugins for Virtual DJ Radio. But I have an SR 1000S DDJ SR 1000SRT, and the plugin on that, for some reason, it's not capable of OS or OSB. And I've been trying to figure out, I can't. So I've just been going with virtual, and they have their own backgrounds and stuff. Like if you're looking at me right now, it's called Live from the Kitchen. This is how I stream it right from my webcam here. And I got another camera up on top, shoots down. And, you know, I started off just playing with 1 to 2 people listening, you know? I did a show on Saturday night. I had 11 people listening. That's not a ton, but I just started. But, you know, I have like 700, I think it was 50 views yesterday. And then I was streaming in the kitchen on video and then streaming on Virtual DJ Radio on the Hypnotic channel, which is all house and tech house. But getting these people to come in and listen to me, plus I know a lot of DJs, so they raid my channels and try to help me. It's a great community, Twitch community for DJing. It really is. So, you know, you scratch each other's back and get everybody's followers and they'll come. I only do it once or twice a week. So it's not like I'm streaming a lot, but I love it. I love it because I'm real anal about my hands getting dirty. So I can just go behind me, wash my hands at the sink, and then go back and stream. The refrigerator is right next to me. I can crack a beer open. The bathroom, I'd be right back. I don't have to run across the club. So it's just in my blood. I do it for fun. I love it. And I have a lot of my real dedicated fans. They're always on Saturday night listening. So it's pretty fun.
I love your enthusiasm about this. I can hear and I can see the excitement that you have in virtual DJing and playing online and catering to your audience. And I think that it's a special thing because some people like get frustrated when there's only 1 or 2 or 10 people on their stream, but you can do it with so much joy when it's something that you just love wholeheartedly. And that's something that you've established. That's something that you have and it keeps you going forward. You know, what is your long-term strategy using this virtual DJing? Do you have a way to turn it into something that's going to make money, or is it something that's just a forever hobby? Where do you see it, or where does it play in your long-term goals?
You know, it is a hobby. I'm already affiliated, so that came really quick, which I appreciate that people follow, people that raid the channel, stuff like that. I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing on Saturday nights, and then probably produce or do a stream show in the daytime on Virtual DJ Radio. They reached out to me and said, hey, can we do Sundays? So 1 week will be a house set, tech house, and the following week will be trance. So I'm committed to that starting next week and then doing the kitchen stream. So on the kitchen stream on Saturday nights, it starts at 9 p.m. So I streamed that to Club Sparta FM and onto Twitch. So Club Sparta FM is in the UK. They have their own radio station. So I do that till midnight. Then I stream in the kitchen until 1 a.m. So almost club hours. And it just depends. I've taken requests in the chat room and stuff like that. But as far as how long I'm going to keep on doing it, I'm going to keep on doing it until, you know, I always, that same thing with my podcast. You know, I started off, I'm just going to keep on doing it until, you know, I get burnt out. I haven't got burnt out. You know, it's something that I love to do. It's I'm going on 275 episodes. It's crazy. It seems like yesterday. It's been about 11 years. So doing podcasts and working at BPM.FM and stuff like that. So yeah, I'll just keep on doing the stream in the kitchen until I lose my internet or I get no one watching. So, but I, like I said, I don't care if there's two or three people watching. I'm enjoying myself having a beer in the kitchen, playing music, listening to music that I get. So yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Super amazing, man. I think that you have a genuine joy for it. And that's the most important thing, because a lot of people get stressed out when they don't see the results that they're looking for, because that's where they get their sense of joy and happiness. But it seemed like you have an internal joy from DJing and doing this kind of work online. So keep it up, brother. I think it's super inspiring. And it just shows that if you are grounded and you really love it for the sake of the trade and the skill, it doesn't matter the outcome or the results of how many people are watching or following you. If you do it for yourself, it's always going to be rewarding. So great job.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely agree.
Yeah. Do you have any pieces of advice or in regards to, like, you know, you've been doing this for a long time in regards to your podcast and also with the virtual DJing and live streaming? You know, what are some tips or pieces of advice that you have learned now that you wish that you knew when you were just starting out, so people that are getting into it now can kind of avoid some of those pitfalls?
Probably the big thing for me is don't give up. You know, if you're in it to meet girls or go into the bar and get free drinks, I mean, it's not for you. I've seen it so much. And you know, everything's evolved too. You know, I remember going to clubs, bringing five milk crates of vinyl. Now you go to a club and you bring a USB, you know? It's evolved so much. People take that for advantage too. You know, when I do a club, if I go to a club and do a club, I do CDJs. Here in the kitchen, I'm running my controller, my board with Virtual DJ Radio, sometimes Serato. Just don't get it discouraged if you don't seeing the results. It takes a long time. And now with the technology, everybody can be a DJ. You can DJ off your iPhone, your iPad, you can do that. But have pride and passion for it. That's how I started, and have fun doing it. You know, a lot of these DJs, they are too serious. They get mad when they have two or three people and then they give up. Then it's not for you then. It's not. So practice, you know, practicing is huge, especially now with all the easy, you know, you got hot cues, I never had all that stuff, you know? I was remixed vinyl Wicked mixes on, you know, on the 1200s. That's how I started. And I'm glad that I was trained that way, because nowadays you have a sync button, you can just hit a sync button and it's good. Back then you would have to find the beat. It's really hard too, because I live in an apartment. And so at night I can't stream my speakers in the apartment. So it took me a while to train my ears to put both headphones on. And then you got your level and your headphone mix. So now I could go do a silent disco tent and kick ass, you know what I mean? Because now I could beat mix in my speakers with one song and the other song playing. So that, it trained my brain a little bit to do that, you know, starting to do virtual DJing, but it's just in my blood. So I picked it up pretty easy, I guess you could say, but you just have to train your brain, I guess you could do. But yeah, the big thing for me is just have patience, man, have patience. Enjoy it, have fun. That's the big thing, have fun. If you're at clubs, you know, I've been doing it forever. You know, you're gonna have people yell at you, you're gonna have people throw drinks at you, you know, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal, go out there and have a good time. That's my advice, and practice, especially for these new DJs, you know, practice up.
Awesome, and what can myself, Daryl, and the club community and the people listening to this podcast do to support you?
You know what, I appreciate you having me on, I really do. Just check out the website, you know, come watch me live stream. If you don't like it, hey, that's fine. You know, that's not a big deal. I have on Twitch, it's twitch.tv/DJRoisky, and they can see my schedule. It's every Saturday night. And for support with you guys, yeah, just come and check it out. You know, check out the podcast. Everything's on my website too. So they can see where I'm at, who I'm from. All the playlists of the podcast on the 80s podcast and on Club Compassion. I have all the episodes. So you have four platforms you can go to listen to that. But yeah, that's all I watch. Just, you know, I love talking to the other DJs and stuff like that too. So when I found out about your podcast, I was like, this would be fun. So definitely fun.
Awesome. And I'm having a fun time interviewing you. So thank you. And at this time, I'm going to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
So software would be Virtual DJ or Virtual DJ and Serato. I've dabbled in Rekordbox. My controller right now for streaming and my podcast is a DDJ 1000 SRT. But I use Virtual DJ because I like the plugins. There's the new Virtual DJ. If you haven't tried it, it's amazing. The plugins are really easy to work. Voice cutouts, you name it. It's amazing. So I've been with them for a long time, especially doing their shows on their channel. So at clubs, usually I just go with the DJ 1000, 2000, 3000 series, whatever they have there. And then I just bring a jump drive.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Oh my God. Would it be DJ producer or just DJ?
Anyone you want.
Oh my gosh. There's so many. I've opened up for so many great DJs. Right now would probably, God, that's a hard question. If I had to pick one, it'd be Mark Knight. I'm a big fan of Mark Knight.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
I used to do singles parties in Southern California and Palm Springs. So a little background story about that. There was a DJ, and I won't say his name, and I was there with some friends hanging out for the single party, and the DJ OD'd. And we're like, who's a DJ? Who can go and take the... So I went up there, met the production team. I had a friend that was coming up, so he brought all my vinyl up, and I ended up DJing this gig every Memorial Day, Labor Day for the next 5 years. It was awesome. Hanging out, I have pictures with Marky Mark, hugging me, Jenny McCartney, Jose Canseco, all these celebrities that I met. That was in the mid-90s, like early 90s. Yeah.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Oh, that's another good question. I would have to say EDX. So I opened for EDX in Minneapolis about 5 years ago. And we were in the back in the kitchen just talking. And he's kind of like me. He's like really like inspirational. And he was like, hey, Royski, you got to listen to this new track. And he brought his cell phone out. This is what I'm working on. And he goes, anything I can do better? He's asking me for tips because he knew who I was and listened to the podcast. So it was amazing. He, this national promoter or DJ, asking me questions on what I should put in, any samples, any kind of, you know, hi-hat, any kind of cymbals, anything like that. It was pretty cool. So yeah, I have a really good relationship with him too.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
A bunch of people on your live stream watching, I guess, and next to you, behind you. That would be great. I was thinking about doing this in a couple of weeks, but I don't know how with my neighbors around me and stuff, but it would be cool if you could have a group of people, you know, like in your settlement at your home or your house or your apartment or anything with people watching you. And then learning OBS and stuff like that, it took me forever to learn how to get that. You know, you really got to, you know, YouTube videos, all that stuff. But I find out my board's not compatible with it. So they say, but I'm using Virtual DJ. I stream, it's fun. I have two cameras. I got one that's above the mixer and then one shoot me. So you get to, then I throw some backgrounds, videos and stuff like that.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose story also need to be shared on this podcast.
What's that now?
Shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose stories also need to be heard on this podcast.
You know what? I would love to see EDX on your podcast. I can get you in contact with him. He's just an amazing guy. He has a lot of stories. He's a house DJ. He's been around the block. I think he's a couple years younger than me. I think that's why we have our relationship. He loves the podcast. He's done drops for my podcast. I've met a lot of DJs, and you know, DJs, including myself, they come with ego. Okay. And that's another thing that you got to really watch yourself is your ego, because it'll kick your butt. It'll definitely come back and haunt you. That's why I'm like, when I first started off, I was like, I'm the king, man. No one's going to touch me. you learn really fast. There's other people better than you. So it kicks you down. So I'm very humble, but he's a humble guy too. So that would, you'd be great to have him on your podcast.
Awesome. Yeah. We look forward to hearing his story one day. And any DJ that's interested, they can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
So yeah, you can go to my website. It's www.djroyski. Everything's on there. All my social media, my links to the podcast, my bio, where you can get to, on Twitch on the bottom, you name it, emails, stuff like that, requests, you name it.
Awesome, brother. This was really great having you. A very positive brother that has seen DJing and got it to be such a passion of his that he's doing. And I want you guys to emulate his passion and love for DJing and use it to your success. So follow Royski. He's doing an amazing job. And I appreciate you and your time for being here on the My DJ Story podcast. Thank you.
I thank you. Thanks, sir. I really appreciate your time too.